Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship this morning. Lord, to just lift our voices, to give thanks, to give praise. Lord, to express our love to you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to share the word of God, the word of life. It is a living word. Father, I ask this morning that you would speak to each and every heart. And Lord, that you would accomplish in us today what you desire. And I give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. What's that? Nike. We know what that is. Nike. There it is spelled out for us. Now, I have a little bit of trouble with that pronunciation. If that's Nike, then it would be Likey and Mikey and Hikey and riding my bikey, right? I mean, everything would be. But in actuality, this word, it didn't come from English. It's not just a random name, but it is a Greek word that many years ago, in the organization of what is now known to be Nike, there was one man who named a particular shoe line Nike, and it was so successful that they eventually renamed the entire company Nike. But he got the idea for the name from a Greek goddess named Nike. But the word Nike, actually, it's probably really pronounced Nike, but we won't go there, okay? We'll leave it alone just to say Nike. But that Greek word, believe it or not, it's right there in your New Testament. In fact, we'll see it in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. No, I'm not preaching on tennis shoes this morning. But the reason he named the shoes Nike is because that Greek goddess was the goddess of victory. And that Greek word simply means victory. It means conquest. And we find it here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Powerful verse of Scripture for everybody that's born again. Got any born again people?
Amen.
All right, well, here it is. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. And there's that word, by the way. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to overcome the world, you got to have something to overcome. So first of all, I want to tell you that trouble is coming. There are storms that are headed your way. Last week, we talked about a year of increase, and we talked about planning and doing and believing God for great things this year. And, you know, when you set out to do that, you need to realize that there are going to be some troubles. There are going to be some problems that are coming your way. You say, well, I'm not believing for that. That's okay. You don't have to believe for it. You're going to get it anyway. Jesus said in John 16 and 33, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Another translation says trouble. You're going to have problems. You are going to have storms. It's not a matter of maybe or if, it's when. You're going to have storms. And that's real important that we know that and that we understand that, because a lot of Christians get discouraged. They get disillusioned. Many times they even get resentful or bitter towards the Lord because they're so surprised that they're having a problem in life. They're so surprised that everything didn't just fall into place. So they're surprised when they face opposition and they get discouraged and they give up. They get weary in well-doing and they fail to see the end result and the harvest, the victory that God had for them. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And I believe the Lord wants to strengthen your faith this morning. He does that through the Word of God. As we hear the Word of God, faith comes. And I believe the Lord wants to strengthen your faith this morning. Storms, trouble is going to come. You got to know that, so that when it does come, you're not set back and you're not taken aback to a place where you're discouraged and disillusioned. Let's just stop right here. Listen, every month, almost every week, I can almost say weekly, somebody expresses to me how discouraged and upset they are because something didn't go the way that they thought it would. Now, I just want you to hear me now. We need to understand those things are going to happen. Whether it's in your family, in your finances, at your job, even your health, there's all kinds of trouble, tribulation, storms that come our way. It's going to come. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, the second thing I want to tell you about trouble and about those storms is that they're going to pass. Now, some of them just last a few seconds. I know my dad this year at his place, he had a tornado that went over his house and barns, and in about 30 seconds did a whole lot of damage. You know, only lasted 30 seconds and it was over. Well, the damage is still there, but the storm only lasted 30 seconds. And sometimes, as we'll see in Scripture a little bit later, there are storms that can last for weeks. But however it happens in your life, it may seem like a season. But I can tell you this, it will pass. It is temporary. The storm, the battle, the struggle that you face, it is temporary. You need to remember that. It's not going to be forever. It's going to pass. And the third thing you need to always remember about trouble and about storms is that you can overcome. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And the Scripture tells us there in 1 John 5:4 that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now in John 16:33, let me just read that whole verse. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And see, when you're in the midst of trouble and problems, you need to realize that the Word of God is what will give you peace. It's what will strengthen your faith. And here the disciples are about to face. They have no idea the trouble that's coming. But this is just before Jesus' crucifixion. And he's telling them, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've already overcome the world. But he says this, he says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And I'll tell you, you will find peace in the Word of God. If you'll just look to the Scripture, and when you're in trouble, when you're in the midst of a storm, if you'll look to the Scripture, you'll find peace there. And you'll find the answers. You'll find faith to be able to overcome whatever the storm, the battle, the struggle is. Now, the Scripture uses the analogy of storms many times. All of us have difficulties in life. All of us have different kinds of storms that come our way. And so there's three different types of storms we're going to talk about this morning. Three different ways that storms come. By the way, let me just, you know, we're talking about an analogy of storms, but, you know, sometimes in your life, you're just going along and everything seems good. And then all of a sudden, in one particular area of your life, or maybe several at a time as it goes sometimes, all of a sudden, the circumstances all around you go haywire. All of a sudden, your environment is changed. Things that you have no control over, maybe. But that's a storm. You see, you're just going through life, and the environment around you changes. And that's why the Scripture uses this analogy of storms for us, because it's so true in each and every life. All of us deal with storms. What do you got to know about storms? First of all, I want to remind you one more time. Storms are going to come. Doesn't matter whether you live on the coast in Galveston, or you live in Fort Worth, or you live in Colorado, storms are going to come. Number two, they're not going to last forever. They all pass over. And number three, you can overcome. First kind of storm that we're going to talk about is the kind that we all face. There are certain things that all of us are going to deal with in life. You know, let me just give you an example for every parent. If you have children, you are going to face a storm. I'm just telling you. I'm not the bearer of bad news. I am not a prophet of doom. I'm just telling you that you are going to face a storm. It's not a tornado. It's a teenager coming your way. Now, that being said, if any of you that know me personally, if you listen to me talk very much about children and teenagers, I'm telling you that you don't have to have a nightmare. You don't have to have destruction when your child reaches the teenage years. But I'm telling you that there is a storm coming. You have to be prepared for that storm. You see, there are certain storms in life that all of us are going to face. And it's up to us to prepare for those things, to be ready for those things. You know, I think a lot of people have a storm when they reach retirement. Or at least, you know, I hope that you're always busy working for the Lord. But when you reach a place where you're no longer full-time employed somewhere, a lot of people have a tremendous storm then. You got to prepare for that time. But if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 46 through 49. And by the way, let me just tell you that in the economic times that we're in right now in our country, I think, you know, there are certain economic storms that are going to come on everybody. I mean, it's going to affect all of us in some way. I mean, it's going to come against our home, our life, our situation. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. But why do you call me Lord and do not do the things which I say? Here's the key word in that verse. Do. Do. It's not, again, I mentioned this last week. He's not talking about don'ts. He's talking about do. Why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid foundation on the rock. When the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. What was the rock? It was doing what Jesus teaches. It was doing the principles of Scripture. But he who heard and did nothing. Did what? Nothing. It doesn't say he did something bad. It says he did nothing. Talked about this last week, but we need to hear this again. When you do nothing, it is wrong. You see, there's a lot of Christians that in their life, it's not that they're necessarily doing bad things. It's that they're not doing what Jesus teaches. They're not following the instructions. They're not prepared for the storms that are coming because they're not doing what he taught. The man that did nothing, it's like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. It was destroyed. Now, we need to be prepared for storms when they come. And how do you do that? You have to act on the Word of God. In fact, the New American Standard Bible says very plainly here in the first part where it says that the man does the Word of God, it says he acts on what Jesus said. And in the last part, when he says does nothing, in the New American Standard, it says he acts accordingly. And that, by the way, the word accordingly is added by the translators. The strictest translation there would just be that he acts. He acts on the word of God. And so I want to challenge you this morning to make it your practice, your habit, that when you receive the word of God, whether you hear it being preached in a message, you read it for yourself in your own devotional time, you hear it through a CD, you read it in a book, however you receive of the word of God, make it your practice that you act on it. Find a way to act on the word of God. That's what Jesus said, is that that wise man is the one who acts accordingly. He acts on the word of God. If we don't do anything with it, we're missing it. You see, you can be prepared for those storms. There's a story I like to tell to illustrate that about a farmhand who went to apply for a job at a farm on the East Coast. And this farmer had been looking for a farmhand for some time. He had a hard time finding people because of the storms and the violent winds that would come through the area. A lot of people just didn't want to work on those farms because sooner or later they knew there would be trouble. But as he interviewed this one farmhand, he said, "Well, are you a good farmhand? Do you know what to do?" And he said, "Well, I can sleep when the wind blows. When the storm comes, I can sleep." And the farmer thought, well, that's kind of strange, but he didn't have too many applicants, so he went ahead and he hired the man. Sure enough, the guy was a great worker, all the time busy and working hard, but a storm soon came. And when the storm came, the farmer woke up. He heard this violent storm, and he ran to where the hired hand was sleeping, and he woke him up, and he said, "You got to get up. There's a storm coming, and everything will blow away." Well, the farmhand just kind of rolled over and said, "It's already taken care of. I told you I could sleep when the wind blows." And so the farmer runs out, and he finds that the bales of hay have already been covered with tarps. The cows are already put in the barn, and the chickens are already put up in the coop. Everything is tied down. Everything's already taken care of. And at that point, the farmer realizes what the hired hand had been saying. I can sleep when the storm comes. And I want to tell you something, Christian. You can sleep when the storm comes. Right now, when everybody else is in a panic over the economy, you can sleep when the storm comes if you've been acting on the Word of God. And you know that you have built your life on the Word of God. You can sleep right through the storm. You don't have to panic. You don't have to get upset because you know that your life is built on doing what Jesus said. Now, I want to encourage you, challenge you this morning. So many people wait until they're in the midst of a storm. I mean, torrents of rain are coming down and the wind's blowing, and they run out trying to sandbag their house. How much better is it to live a life for God and daily put His words into practice in your life and build your life upon that kind of foundation and know that your life will stand through the storms that you're going to face. And see, you gotta do it ahead of time. You can't always wait to the last second. No, that's what a lot of people, let's go back to the illustration of children and teenagers. That's what a lot of people do regarding raising children. They wait until they got a terrible storm on their hand, and then they say, "Well, I got to do something." You start doing something when they're two. Heavyweight boxing champion Joe Frazier, he said this: "Champions do not become champions in the ring. They're merely recognized in the ring. Their beginning happens in their daily routine. You can map out a fight plan or a life plan, but when the action starts, you're down to your reflexes. That's where your road work shows. If you've cheated on that in the dark of the morning, you're getting found out now under the bright lights." And you know what? I see that so true in the life of so many Christians. When we do what we're supposed to do, when we stay in the Word and we build up and strengthen our faith and we put the words of Jesus into practice in our life, then when the heat's on, we're ready for that storm, and we're going to come out victorious. We're going to overcome through that storm. Now, the second type of storm is one that just comes suddenly. You're going along, and all of the sudden, things just change radically. You had no idea. You had no warning. Just without warning, things begin to change. For example, I remember just a year or so ago, or not even a year ago, my son was driving in Houston, and in 2 seconds' time, his circumstances changed. He was in a car wreck. Looked up, there's a car unavoidable in front of him that had pulled out, and everything changes. And you see, all of us face things like that in life. We're going along, and then just all of the sudden, we're in the midst of all kinds of trouble and problems, and we all face those storms. We're going to read about one in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. A great windstorm arose. By the way, this story it's related in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, suddenly, it was without warning, just suddenly, this great windstorm arose. And this is how bad it was. The waves are coming over into the boat. I just want you to get a picture here of the waves coming over into the boat, and it's starting to fill up. Now, these men, many of them were fishermen. They were out in the boat on this lake all the time. They were very comfortable with the water. They're very used to this. And yet, they became very afraid. This was an unusual storm where the waves are coming over into the boat. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Always amazes me that Jesus was sleeping while the boat is starting to fill up with water. He had a peace. Don't you wish you could sleep like that? It's available to us. Amen. He said, "My peace I give unto you." That same kind of peace. And they awoke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" They said, "Jesus, don't you care? We're dying." Right here is where a lot of Christians live when the storm comes, in panic. "Lord, don't you see? Don't you care? Look at my situation. I'm dying here." He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus gets up and he speaks to the wind and the sea, "Peace, be still." And now the storm is over. It all stopped right then and there. It was over. Here they were in such a panic, and now it's over. But what does Jesus say to them? He says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" We might not want to own up to ever being like that, but the truth is, a lot of the time, when we have a sudden, unexpected storm in our life, we get in a panic. We're afraid. We're upset over the situation, the circumstances, and we're wondering if God cares or not, because why doesn't he do something about my situation right now? And here's what's really strong is Jesus says, that they had no faith. What's the end result of the story here? He rescued them. And I want you to hear this morning that God is able to rescue you even when you are in a panic, even when you didn't have a perfect faith. He said they had no faith. He still came through for them. Why? Well, let me first of all tell you that Jesus was on board. Now, there are some Christians, who nominal Christians, by name only Christians, who go to church maybe and they're religious, but they don't really have Jesus on board in their life. But if you are a real Christian, you got Jesus on board, then it doesn't matter what storm comes your way, He's going to take care of you. When you got Jesus on board, you might think, well, He's sleeping in the stern while everything is breaking loose, but He'll take care of you. If you got Jesus on board, He's not going to let you perish in the storm. And whatever that is in your life, whatever that situation is, if you got Jesus on board, you need to have that faith, the trust to overcome. Listen, they had no faith, but something happened when Jesus calmed the waves in the sea. It says, now He asked them, He said, why were you so afraid? Well, they were afraid of the storm, but now it says, they were exceedingly afraid. Why? Because they got a glimpse of who this was. You see, they got a revelation of who God is, of who Jesus was. And I want to tell you, we need a revelation. We need to see that God will take care of us. That He loves us and He is merciful and He is good to us even when we don't deserve it, even when we don't earn it. No, He is gracious. He's merciful to us. Even when we mess up, He will rescue us. And He is mighty. He is Almighty God. They said, who is this? He's the I Am. And I want you to hear me this morning. Whatever the storm is in your life, Jesus is the I Am. You don't have to be fearful and afraid. Realize that the God that you serve, the one that's on board with you, that He is mighty and He can take care of your storm. The last type of storm we're going to talk about this morning is the one that comes when we or those that we're with do something stupid. Anybody been there? Tell your neighbor, I've been there. Some of us say, I know you have. We've all been there. We have all made some mistakes. We've all done something stupid. And sometimes it wasn't us. It was the one we're with, right? And we get in a storm. There's problems going on because somebody did something dumb. Well, it's in Acts chapter 27. And let me just tell you the story. The Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's on board a boat. He is being taken to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. He's being taken there so that he can testify and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to Caesar and Caesar's household. But as he's being taken on this ship, they stop at one port, and before they head out, it has turned to the wrong time of year. And the Apostle Paul tells them, he says, we can't go on. If we try to go on now, it will be at the loss of the cargo and the ship and our very lives. Well, those that were the owners of the boat and those in charge, they said, no, it's going to be all right. We're going to head out anyway. And they waited for just the right wind and everything looked good, and so they headed out. They didn't listen to wise counsel. They didn't listen to the man of God. Instead, they said, well, it looks good now. We're going to go ahead and head out. Sound familiar to anybody? Listen, we've all done some dumb things, and we've all been on a boat with some people that did some dumb things. You see, and I think we need to look at this from both perspectives, both from the men who did the dumb thing and also from the Apostle Paul's perspective. Listen, he said, don't do it. We can't go. And he didn't really have a choice about it. He was just on board with the guys that made the bad choice. But as they go, it's not long until hurricane force winds come up. They were in such a terrible storm that the men on the boat dropped the anchors, and just the wind, the force of the wind, just drove them along. With the anchors down, it just drove them along. It was so powerful, those anchors didn't even make any difference. It just drug them along and pushed them along. And the men were in such peril that they didn't eat for 14 days. They didn't even think about food. They were just trying to survive this horrible hurricane that had come upon them. You know what? Sometimes you may feel like you're in a situation like that. You don't even know how you're even going to make it through, how you're even going to survive. Is this ever going to be over? They threw over all of the cargo. They threw over the ship's tackle. They just were trying to hang on, trying to survive. And all of this because they wouldn't listen to wise counsel, because they did something stupid. We're going to pick the story up there in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, we're going to read verses 21 through 26. And I just encourage you, you might read the whole story later. It's just a phenomenal story of God's providence and the mighty deliverance that he brought. After a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and he said, men, you should have listened to me. I told you so. You should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Well, how could he say such a thing? Well, here it is. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve. Listen, the Apostle Paul wasn't in the bottom of that boat watching TV. He wasn't just rocking with the waves and waiting for things to pass. No, I believe he was down there praying. I believe he was down there recalling and standing upon the Word of God and the promises of God. He was down there in a fight, and God spoke to him through an angel. What did he say? He said, the God who I serve and whose I am, the one that I belong to. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you belong to God, if you're serving God, he's not going to let you go down with the boat. He's going to make a way for you. He will always make a way for his people. Stood by me this night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. You know, when I get on an airplane, I have absolutely no fear. None. You know why? Because I know God's not finished with me yet. I know that there's a calling and that there's certain things that I have to fulfill. And so I have absolutely zero fear. Not a little bit, zero. God's not through with me. Just like the Apostle Paul, this angel told him, God's not done with you. You're going to stand before Caesar. There's a purpose in his life. And he says, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid anymore. But that's not all. He said, not only will you be saved, but everybody with you. Not one person will lose their life. Not one hair on their head. Wow. God has granted you all those that sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Now, as the story goes on, it's just as God said. They ran aground on a sandbar of a certain island. The ship breaks in half, and those that can swim, swim to shore. Those that couldn't got a plank or a piece of wood from the ship. But every man, every prisoner, every soldier, every crew member of the ship, they all made it to shore safely. The Bible says they didn't lose one hair of their head. They all made it. Why? Because this one man, I want you to hear me now. You see, in this economy, in our world today, and all that's going on, people do stupid things. And you can name this politician, and you can name this big company. Come on now. And all the dumb things that they did. But I want you to hear me now. It's not going to take you down. In fact, I believe that what happened here for the Apostle Paul is true in our life. That if we'll trust God, if we'll just serve God and trust God and believe God, that not only will He save us, He'll save those around us. And you can say, oh, but people did stupid things. God is bigger than that. I'm so glad God is bigger than my mistakes. That's not really a hard concept for us to grasp, is it? Because that's what being born again is it's Him paying the price for us, Him doing what we couldn't do. And I just want to encourage you this morning that whatever your storms are, whatever's going on around your life, it may seem absolutely horrible, but you need to pray and believe and trust God. He will not let you go down with the ship. He's going to bring you through. And this is the end result, is that you'll be saved, those with you, and God will be glorified. You know, when this trip started, they wouldn't listen to Paul. He said, we can't go on. It's too dangerous. We shouldn't go. They went on anyway. But when they got about midway through this thing and the storm was happening and it was all just as bad and just exactly as Paul had said it would be, then they did exactly what he said. You know, in fact, there were some guys that got a bright idea. They said, well, we're going to lower a lifeboat and get out of here. And Paul told the soldiers, he said, don't let them do that or we'll die. And the soldiers cut the boat loose and let it drop away into the water. You see, at that point, they're going to do exactly what the man of God said. And you'll be surprised that when God uses you to get through a storm, not only will you be saved and God be glorified, people are going to be listening to you. You're going to have an opportunity. I guarantee you that when they got on shore, every one of those men were listening to Paul. Every one of them were open to his witness and testimony about the God who he serves and who he belongs to. And you know what? In your own life, you'll go through some storms, you're going to go through some stuff, and other people are going to listen to you because of the victory that God brought in your life. I just want to encourage you, just don't limit God to what he can do through a storm in your life and in the midst of a storm in your life. And you know, I want to say about this event that happened in Paul's life, let's just look at this from Paul's perspective for a minute. He didn't put himself in this storm. It was the will of foolish men that did this. And it very well may have been Satan that was orchestrating it in the background. You know, the devil schemes. The Bible says he schemes. He schemes in your life to orchestrate events, and he works through people to try to mess you up. But just as it was true for the Apostle Paul, that God turned this around, not only did he protect him, but he turned this around and used it for good. He turned it around and brought glory to himself through it and used this whole situation for good. And God will do the same thing in your life. You may feel like, I didn't bring this on myself. I don't deserve this. But you need to trust God that in the midst of that, God is able to do something great, to do a miracle in your life. Trouble comes. Storms come. John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Kind of wondered sometimes. Now, Jesus, you overcame, but what about me? Listen, what Jesus was saying is that he has overcome. He has already gotten the victory for us. Church, the victory's already been won. The price has already been paid. Listen, he said, I've already overcome. Be of good cheer. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament. When David faced Goliath, and that young man killed that 9-foot-tall warrior, most people stopped the story when he slung that stone and brought the giant down. But that's not the end of the story. David went over and took his own sword, took Goliath's sword, and cut his head off. And that's not the end of the story. Because then, when David cut off Goliath's head, then all of the Israelites who had been frozen in fear for weeks and weeks and weeks, now all of a sudden, they run after the Philistine army and overtake them and kill them. Why? Because when David overcame that giant, they knew the victory was theirs. All they had to do was go out and take it. And I tell you, when we see that Jesus has already overcome the world, the victory is already ours. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We need to believe God that he has given us the victory. We just got to run after it and take it. We got to pursue after it by faith and take hold of it. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, there is a victory on the other side of your storm. Amen. You just got to take hold of it by faith. You got to believe him. You got to trust him. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning.